The Long Call by Anne Cleves. Read by Ben Aldridge. Chapter 1. The day they found the body on the shore, Matthew Venn was already haunted by thoughts of death and dying. He stood outside the North Devon Crematorium on the outskirts of Barnstable, a bed of purple crocus spread like a pool at his feet, and he watched from a distance as the hearse carried his father to the chapel of rest. When the small group of mourners went inside, he moved closer. Nobody questioned his right to be there. He looked like a respectable man, a wearer of suits and sober ties, prematurely grey-haired and staid, not a risk-taker or a rule-breaker. Matthew thought he could have been the celebrant arriving a little late for the service, or a diffident mourner, sheepish and apologetic, with his soft skin and sad eyes. A stranger seeing him for the first time would expect sympathy and comfortable words. In reality, Matthew was angry. But he'd learned long ago how to hide his emotions. He checked his feet to make sure that no flowers had been crushed, then walked between the headstones towards the path. The door to the Chapel of Rest had been left open. It was a warm day for so early in the year, and he could hear the service underway inside. The rich and passionate tone of a voice he'd have known anywhere. Dennis Salter, rousing his troops, persuading them that Andrew Venn was in heaven and they might be sad for themselves, but they should not be for their brother. Then came the heavy breathing of an electric organ and the slow and deliberate notes of a hymn that Matthew recognized but couldn't name. He pictured Alice Wozencroft bent double over the keys, dressed entirely in black, hands like claws, a nose like a beak, as close to a crow as a woman could be. She'd been old even when he was a boy. Then he'd been a member of the Barham Brethren by birth and by commitment, his parents' joy and hope for the future. Now he was cast out. This was his father's funeral, but he wasn't welcome. The hymn ground to a dreary close and he turned away. Soon the service would be over. His father's coffin would slide behind the curtain and be turned to ash. The small group of mostly elderly women would gather in the sunshine to talk. Then they might move on to his mother's house for tea and home-baked cakes. Tiny glasses of sweet sherry. His name might be mentioned in passing. These people would understand that a bereaved woman would be missing her only son at a time like this. Though despite their sympathy, there would be no question that he should have been invited. It had been his choice to leave the Brethren. Matthew stood for a moment, thinking that lack of faith had little to do with choice. Doubt was a cancer that grew unbidden. He pushed away the guilt that still lurked somewhere in his body, physical, like toothache, the root of his anger, and the tattered remnant of belief that made him think that his father, the spirit or soul of his father, might be somewhere watching him, still disappointed in his son. Then he walked quickly back to his car. The call came when he was nearly there. He leaned against the perimeter wall of the cemetery, his face to the light. It was Ross May, his colleague, his constable. Ross's energy exhausted him. Matthew could feel it, fizzing through the ether and into his ear. Ross was a pacer and a shouter, a pumper of iron, a member of the local running club and a rugby player. A team player, except, it seemed, when he was at work. Boss, where are you?
Out and about.
Matthew was in no mood to discuss his whereabouts with Ross May. Can you get back here? Someone's found a body on the beach at Crow Point. You're neck of the woods. Matthew thought about that.
Accident?
It happened, even in still weather. The tides were treacherous. Someone out in a small boat